This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. This is part two of a three-part conversation with John Dougal, a resident sustainability expert. Are buildings that go up, that are green buildings, do they have some sort of certification? Is there a LEED for residential buildings that they're getting?
It goes across the market, and what's happening now is that there's a new organization that's being formed called the U.S. Green Real Estate Council. And the U.S. Green Real Estate Council will be a similar organization to USGBC in that it'll offer advice. It'll be a nonprofit, and it's offering advice to realtors on rating the different certification systems. For instance, if LEED is recognized, which it is at the present time, as the strictest and the hardest to certify, NHAB, Canada, Green Globes, Green Initiatives, there's a whole number of other rating systems that designate a building to be green, whether it's a home or an office building or an industrial site. So there are going to be ratings on the different certifications for being, quote, green. And it'll end up, probably bottom line, there will be a green certification course for home inspectors so that when a home inspector goes out to do a termite report when the property is being transferred, he'll also rate it that it has triple pane windows, it has photovoltaics on the roof, it has thermal solar so that you don't have it preheats the water before it goes into the house, it has zero scaping on the outside, so there's very little water that's necessary, and that brings up a point, Dave. One of the other aspects that is going to play into the real estate market and why realtors are very interested in this is, let's say that you're a prospective home buyer and you're talking to a realtor and you ask the realtor questions like, well, is water going to be limited here? Out here in the West, you know, we have Los Angeles with the worst drought in 130 years. There are many communities that say you can't wash your car, in your driveway, that you're going to have to replace your lawn. And they're just, The water is becoming such an issue right now that even in Orange County, they just put in a new $55 million water reclamation plant to where they're going to be actually putting potable water from sewage back into the system because water is so precious. They're going to bypass the law that says that you cannot take potable water from a wastewater system. But they're going to purify it so well and certify it so well, they're going to put it back into your basic faucet. This is really a monumental change in the consciousness of where water comes from.
Very interesting. It sounds familiar. I don't know if our drought here in the Southeast is a 130-year drought, but it's certainly a 100-year drought anyway.
Well, it's going to happen everywhere. We'll have periods of more rain and very moist conditions, and then it'll switch and there'll be dry years, and so water conservation and reuse systems are going to be a very important part of what you buy in property.
Very interesting.
And more and more consumers are going to be much more wary of the property and the potential impacts of the environment on the house and how well will that house stand up in their community. So it's becoming a big issue.
That's interesting. Well, I'm sure around here in the Southeast that there's a lot more builders paying attention to water, a lot more than they used to. Let me ask you a question about just the green real estate market in general. Any figures out there as to the size and their expectations as to how big this might get going forward?
No, I don't, because at this point it's really still very fledgling, so to speak. There's a lot of consciousness about it. When I say that major financial institutions are training their people to look for what makes a green property, the realtors are signing up in droves. When I say that the Mortgage Brokers Association, with 500,000 members now, is promoting green trainings for their realtors. There's a woman in your area, not in your area, but in Florida, that has a company called Green Real Estate Education. And I've talked to her at length a few months ago, a woman by the name of Carrie Mitchell. And she does trainings for real estate boards, and she has just been booked up solid. She did a course for, who was registered to do a course for the Chicago Board of Realtors I don't know, a couple weeks ago or a month ago or something like that, and they actually sold the class out and asked her to do a second class on what makes green real estate. And so I really see that the statistics and the data will start to come in, but again, it's a little too early have anybody acquiring that data or publishing it, at least.
I saw a report from McGraw-Hill on this subject, and they said, there was an estimate, I don't know that I even believe this, that by the end of 2008, two-thirds of the new homes that are built in the U.S. are going to be green. That's an amazing statistic to me. Is that believable?
It is believable. It's believable because of the source. McGraw-Hill plugged into the U.S. Green Building Council about 2 years ago, and you know, they're tied in with Environmental Building News, which publishes one of their publications four times. And so McGraw-Hill, you know, as big as they are, they do a lot of research. And this guy Harvey Bernstein, who's the head of their marketing department, really saw. He's somewhat of a visionary, and he saw, I think, this green real estate thing. I don't think he knew what he was going to call it, but I think he saw it happening through the U.S. Green Building Council. And I think McGraw-Hill did a very propitious move, if I can use a two-bit word, in associating with the USGBC and starting to publish and accrue data on the green building market. I personally believe they're a little short of their estimates. They say that the green building market will be $20 billion in 10 years. I say that right now we're looking at least $30 billion, and that's not USGBC. That's total green building, because there's a lot of people out there that are building green, and they're just doing it. They don't care about any certifications. They're just building really high-performance buildings. So I think that it's somewhere between $30 billion and $60 billion at this point. It's really huge in the underground.
Now, I can't imagine that as we go forward, there's actually going to be some certification, or will there? Will there be a certification on buildings that they're green, or people just want green buildings and they don't care if they're certified or not?
Well, you know, it depends on how sophisticated the buyer is. The U.S. Green Building Council came out with a LEED for homes. Now, LEED, as many of the readers know, stands for Leadership in Environment and Energy Design. And the LEED protocol has now undergoing another issue, where they're going to come out with basically a new urbanist rating for new developments. They're going to call it LEED ND, New Developments. And that is to encourage, so to speak, the new urbanist movement or infill homes that aren't that get away from dependence on automobiles, that are highly efficient, that have shorter or let's say less wide streets to encourage walking and slower traffic, a little more Disneyland type of developments. LEED for Homes came out. It is still being certified, but Habitat for Humanity, for example, is building a LEED Platinum. That's the highest rating. It'll have a wastewater sewage and treatment system, rainwater harvesting. It'll have xeriscaping, solar heat, and solar electricity. This is so to speak leading edge. When you're going platinum under the LEED certification, that's the highest rating you can get. And they have, LEED at this point has, I think, one of the highest degrees of respect in the building community. Like I said, NAHB, National Association of Home Builders, has a rating. And I think that all the flooring companies are going to need to get involved in this. They're going to need to stake out some turf, pay attention, get their salespeople and their marketing people involved, because this is part of the growth of the green marketplace. And as I've said before on this program, green building is an ever-evolving phenomenon. And what we thought we knew last year, this year we find something a little bit different. We find that there's more efficiencies, not so much in on-demand water heaters, but preheating the water outside and then bringing it in into the house where it's heated more efficiently or to a higher temperature. And I think you'll find that this is the next level of growth in the green marketplace as far as buildings go, both residential and commercial.
I see. You were talking about people in the floor covering business getting tuned into this. Are you aware of the carpet industry and the CRI's been working on this NSF 140-2007 sustainable carpet assessment? Basically, a nationwide standard, sustainability standard for carpet. As far as I know, the only industry across the board that's ever done anything like that.
Well, you know, I have the greatest respect for Werner and the people and Bob Peoples and the whole that whole CRI and the CARE program. And I think that they're probably, you know, I say they're contemporaries in seeing the market developing before it happens. And I'm to answer your question, no, I'm not familiar with that particular standard, but I do believe that that's the kind of thing that green real estate will be referring to. A customer will say, well, what about the flooring in this building? And, well, it conforms to the CRI sustainability standard 1471. And the customer will say, well, what's that? Well, the realtor is going to have to know what that means. Consequently, the carpeting and or the flooring industry in general is going to have to get involved in this real estate training and start to focus on how they're going to get the word out on how they how their products conform to any sustainability standard.
I see. So then when we again have a housing industry that's growing, we're going to see a lot of conversation about green and sustainability and standards about floor coverings and probably a lot of other things as well.
Absolutely. It's going to continue to grow, and there's going to be more awareness, and I think you'll see banks. You know, you probably heard that Bank of America put $20 billion into green building funds. Wells Fargo has done the same thing. I forget how much they are allocating for green mortgages and green building. Their job or their interest is incentivizing green building, whether it's from green, what I call them, new urbanist developments, because there's much more security, less risk for the financial institutions when they're behind this whole concept of new urbanist or new infill developments, because the people don't have such a high rate of utilities, and they operate much more efficiently. So they're happier people. They're able to go on with their lives. It's just a very connected. All the different issues are all very very connected.
I see. Now, the concept, as I understand it, is in terms of cost anyway. A green home is going to be a little bit more costly on the front end, but over the long run, it'll be less expensive once you take into consideration operating costs, health benefits, comfort levels, environmental benefits, and so on. And I guess, as you mentioned earlier, the travel advantages or lack of travel advantages, I guess.
Yeah, the problem here is now and has always been equating first costs or capital costs with second costs or operational costs. So if I agree, which I'm not sure that I do, that the upfront costs are going to be more, it depends on what level of efficiency you want the building to operate on. Now, if you want to put solar on the building that's just enough to produce, let's say, 60 or 70% of their energy load, you'll probably see an ROI over 10 years. So, yes, that's going to be more expensive. But also, the solar industry is growing at such an incredible rate, and the renewable energy industry is becoming more of a powerful lobbyist. And I think that you'll see over time that the capital costs will not necessarily be that high of an addendum to what you might call traditional building costs. At this point, I'd say it'd be no more than 5 or 10%. But when you look at the cost of operating that building, which is the real cost of operating the building, over time, you'll see that initial 5 or 10% capital costs will be well paid for within 4 years. I mean, I know that's really putting myself on the line, but I really think that the cost of energy is going to ascend quite rapidly.
This is going to conclude the second part of a three-part conversation. It features John Dougal. He's our resident sustainability expert. We'll air the third part of this conversation tomorrow. This is Floor Radio.